Blog Talk Radio.
Almost live from somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee, Regime Entertainment presents It's Not Me, It's You, the show where the good, the bad, and the ugly of relationships are discussed from both genders' point of view. And now here's your host, John.
Hey guys, welcome to It's Not Me, It's You, coming from Nashville, Tennessee on this great Thursday night. We are going to have a really good show tonight because we're going to talk about something we have never talked about on this show, and that is the state of sex. Oh, my God, taboo here in the South. But we're going to talk about it anyway with my guest hostess, Amy Venezia, and we'll get to her in just a moment. But as usual, we will start off with music. Band you have not heard on here before, it is a South African-based band called Lone Hill Estate, and the song we're going to play is called Sugar Honey Smacks.
My feet feel the beat since you taught them how to walk. My hips do this since you taught them how to talk. My lips are twisted in a grin, thinking dirty thoughts about you. I can't understand why I'm shaking like this. I can't hear the fan because I'm reading your lips. I let my friends slip because they know that I'm whipped around you.
State with Sugar Honey Smacks, and all of a sudden I'm hungry for cereal. I don't know why. So we are going to talk. I know. And I want to welcome back anybody who's listened to the show in the past knows my good friend Amy Venezia is on with us tonight. Amy is the author of the book called Woo Dat, that's W-O-O-D-A-T, available on Amazon and also through my website, itsnotmeradio.com, is a link to buy the book. And Amy, welcome back.
Hi.
Glad
to be back.
Yeah, it's always good to have it. Amy and I are going to do something we haven't done in I guess probably a couple, 3-4 years, and that's talk about sex.
Yep.
Amy used to have a podcast. We talk about it all the time, so she's more daring than I am, apparently, right? All the time, whether it's on the air or not, just not with each other, but about our other people and stuff like that. So we want to. Amy had a good idea of. You know, she wrote the book Woo Dat that you have out on Amazon right now. There's a chapter in it called Counting Coup, and I want to quote a chapter or quote a paragraph from it to kind of get us started tonight. And it kind of sums up how the state of sex in this country and in the world is right now. So I'm going to quote here. In today's world, sex has become a sport. It is a game. It is a show up, suit up. Hopefully people are smart enough to do this and win. Hit the showers and then go make a sandwich. That's as deep as it goes. Tell me, first of all, what made you write that paragraph?
Going out to a bar or a restaurant on any given night of the week and talking with friends or people and just observing the culture we're living in. I mean, it's very, very obvious that things are a little bit messed up in this area, and in both relationships and with dating relationships and as obviously the casual hookup. But I don't know, that to me was just observing what our culture is doing right now. And if you look at like what's out in our music, what's out in our movies, the things, you know, those things directly emulate or mirror, you know, our consciousness as people, or they wouldn't be successful, right? If songs
right.
come out, movies come out, and they're not selling millions, they wouldn't, you know. So it shows where our thought process is on this planet. And when you look at the vampire culture, you know, that has been so prevalent in the last several years, and, you know, all this top 40 music that people go nuts over, it's just all about partying and hooking up and you know, it's all about good time, you know, having a good time, having that high of seeing that person from across the room and, you know, what you're going to do about it, and then you do it and it's over with, and then you, you know, cut all emotional ties and go on to the next one, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's obvious, I think, to anyone. I think Helen Keller, if she was living today, would be able to notice that our culture is very, very sex-obsessed right now.
It is obsessed. It's also very, you know, I mean, we live in a culture of instant gratification, immediate gratification. And we talked about on the show last week, you know, applications like Tinder, you know, social media, or not social media, but social apps, you know, hookup apps, as we call them, for your smartphone, where you can, you know, find somebody almost immediately that's in the area that might want to get together. You know, back in, even in the 80s, and certainly in our parents and grandparents' era, there was nothing like that. I mean, it was, you know, go down to the Dairy Queen or the malt shop or, you know, the Walgreens and, you know, hang out there, and maybe some pretty girl would walk by and you strike up a conversation. Hey, remember what conversations used to be like? And then, you know, you kind of go from there. But now it's all about now. And I'm not sure. I mean, what do you think? I mean, let me ask you this. What do you think has changed in our culture to cause this?
Well, number one, I think exactly what you're saying right now. When you have things so, you know, out in the open in front of your face right there, easy access, just takes a text message or a click on the link or the site. Or when you have that, it opens up a whole, you know, new can of worms of before it would take people actually having to approach other people, which, you know, to this day, people still are very frightened to do. I mean, to sit there and go up and, you know, risk rejection to your face or whatever, it took a lot for people to do that, although, you know, it wasn't like people haven't been doing this all along. But now, you know, it's much easier. You put your profile up, you put your best picture up where you look the sexiest. You write these funny little, you know, one-liners here and there that make you look like you have a great personality. You put everything forth that is your persona that you put out there, and then that person clicks on it, and then you guys start your flirtatious banter back and forth, and it's just, it's easy. It's
also very
there's
boring.
Nothing to it. Well, I have this. If you remember the, we talked about my ebook that I wrote a few years ago, several years ago. I have a chapter in there called "Frozen Lasagna," and in parentheses, casual sex versus Mama's homemade lasagna, in parentheses, connected sex. And we live in a frozen lasagna culture. That is that we have adopted the mentality and the belief that to be able to take something out of a box, pop it in a microwave, put it on for 4 minutes, 5 minutes, however long it takes, eat it up, and then throw it away without having to do any dishes We didn't have to sit there and cook for hours and cook the sauce and sit there and let it blend and all the flavors come together. We didn't have to do anything. And,
right.
Yeah, it has all the unnatural ingredients in it. None of it's natural. Yeah, it's not good for you. And, yeah, it's not going to be the best lasagna you've ever said you've ever had. But it's easy.
And quick.
And quick. With no cleanup. And that's the society we're living in. Nobody wants to go pick the herbs out of their backyard. Nobody wants to take the time to chop the onions and the garlic up. You know? Nobody wants to take the time to sit there and let it simmer and simmer so everything comes together and alchemizes and all the flavors and now dancing with each other and it tastes so good and it smells so good in the house and you're starving but you know you got 2 more hours till it's done and you're, you know, nobody wants to take time for that anymore. That's not the culture we live in.
Yeah, and I don't see it changing any time this century either. So,
with the chapter counting coup that I wrote, there were 2 stories that made me write that chapter, which happened pretty much simultaneously, maybe within a couple weeks. I was out with friends, and this girl had kind of attached herself to our group and started talking to all of us, and she was maybe 21, 22 years old, maybe 24 at the most, so anywhere between 21 and 24. She was completely hungover from the night before, and she's having hair of the dog or whatever, and she's sitting here talking to us, and she's just letting it all out there. She's like, yeah, you know, I hope this guy doesn't show up tonight. I met this guy last night. I was out, and I was totally wasted, and we ended up hooking up, and I swear, John, and I'm going to say this in the most polite way possible that I can say it. Her exact words were, I don't even remember if he went in the back door or not. I think he went in my back door.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. At 21, 22, 23 years old, just met the dude, has no idea whether things went to another level because she can't remember because she was so drunk. So then 2 weeks later, I'm out with friends from Chicago who are here visiting, and I'm talking with all of them, and there's this dude in there that is a stunningly good-looking man. Just, I mean, like,
oh, I wasn't there with y'all. I wasn't there with y'all.
Oh, that was another time.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go ahead.
This guy was extremely cute. He was a lawyer, successful, smart, intelligent. And he was actually complaining. Now, all the guys that are listening to this are going to go, wow, 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 you know, here's the little violin
right.
I'm playing for you. He was complaining because he was so almost distraught. He was depressed because all the girls that he met wanted to hook up on the first date. All the girls that he met threw themselves at him instantly.
Mm-hmm.
All the girls that he met were overly aggressive sexually,
mm-hmm.
and he was actually just completely depressed more with himself because he was so tired of – he actually was talking to a guy that was in our group that was equally good-looking and married and older, and he's like, man, I just don't know how to set the boundary. I want a girl that wants to take the time. I
right.
want a girl that wants to, you know, has enough self-respect, both me and her. For this relationship, for this connection. It's not about morals or being prude. It's about realizing that when you rush something that like that at the very beginning, for the other things to catch up is very difficult once you've put that into play. And so he was going on and on with this. And so he's like, I just don't know what to do or even how to control myself in this situation because it's so hard when some, you know, hot girl is throwing herself at you. It's very mm-hmm. difficult not to. And so my older friend told him, man, you know, you got to count coup. That's what you got to do. You got to count coup. And I explain that in that chapter of, you know, just because you can hook up with a person probably every night of the week that you go out if you really, really tried. I mean, just because you can doesn't mean you have to.
Right.
You know? Doesn't mean
you can
pass out your sexuality like sticks of gum.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you know, some of these women, they were throwing themselves at him and or women that are throwing themselves at anybody for that matter, you know, just don't understand what it's like to be romanced, to be wooed, to be chased, if you will, but in a non-felony manner. And
I agree with you 100%.
They just don't know. They don't know what it's like.
Girls talk about that. They're like, I don't even know what a date is. One girl told me that usually her dates consist, you know, quote unquote date consists of being out with friends, And the guy texts, hey, what you doing? Mm-hmm. I'm at, you know, Red Door. I'm here. I'm there with, you know, my friends. Okay, I'm coming up. We'll hang out. That's a date.
No, it's not, because he said the word hangout. You know?
It's just, it's frightening in the sense that I think women have completely, we've completely lost our way because of ability. You know, everything's out of balance right now, as it should be, because everything was out of balance for a long time going to the other extreme. So it makes sense that it's like this at this time. But you know, you got women that no longer have to play the game of depending on men for their livelihood, so therefore they have to play a certain role in order to be accepted and good wife material to be provided for. That's done. And then so you got women that are providing for themselves, and now they've kind of taken on the mentality, they've been burned enough, they've been hurt enough, that it's like, well, they get that if they're not choosing the right guy at the right time in their life, most of the times, if they're going off of just attraction and all that, they're pretty much going to be used up. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, rarely in the hookup world are there guys that will just sit there and have the conversation with you of, you know, it's been wonderful, it's been great, it's been nice knowing you, I had a good time. I mean, you just never hear from them again.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's not somebody, to quote an old saying, that you're going to take home to meet mama. You know, you want somebody who you've had to, you know, you've each had to work for, just to get to that point. I mean, there's a dating site out there. I don't know if you've heard of it, called OkCupid, and they have a list of questions that are different from some of the other sites. And one of the questions is, how many dates would you go on before you would sleep with somebody? 1 to 2, 3 to 5, or 6 to more. I think that's an outstanding question. Even, you know, the website may be a little cheesy, but, you know, it's an outstanding question to ask. You know, how many dates does it take for you?
Yeah, and if you answer 1 to 2 and they've actually put your results up there, you're going to get a hit from every guy.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you know, and then you know, one of the other questions is, would you ever sleep with anybody on the first date? Now, there are some women that put yes to that question and then put 6 or more on the other question. I'm like, okay, there's a conflict here somewhere. But, you know, you can't sleep with somebody on the first date and wait six or more dates to do it. But anyway,
you got to know yourself enough to know what it is that you're wanting out of it. You're just being stupid as a person. And this is me. I'm not being, you know, with harsh here. I mean, I would say this to myself.
You're judging.
If you truly find that you feel connected with this person and it seems different to you than, you know, people that you've hung out with or people that you've been casual with or people that you've, you know, thought, well, this will be a good, you know, person to date, but I definitely wouldn't marry them, or, you know, whatever it is that you have tagged them with. You know, if you find that it's special, it would just be pure stupidity, no matter how attracted you are to them, to go there right away without cultivating the other things, because as we know, and when Harry met Sally, and tons of people have discussed this subject over the decades and centuries, I mean, sex complicates things.
Yeah, it does.
It completely complicates things. And if you let that be the thing that's out of the gate first, and then, you know, you really don't even know their middle name, you have no idea where they grew up or where they went to college. You think about that. You're kind of shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, and even going back to like their first date, and you know, and I use the word date. You know, where do you go? I've been asked many times, what's your ideal first date? And I was like, anywhere you can talk. I don't want to go to a movie. I don't want to go to a show. I don't want to go to somewhere I'm going to have to sit there for 2 hours and be quiet with somebody I'm on a first date with. Because, you know, I want to spend that time getting to know the person and see if there's going to be a second date or if there's going to be a sixth date or whatever, you know, or, you know, and the way a lot of people, I think, look at it is, okay, she's not going to make, or we're not going to make it to date 2 or 3. I might as well hook up with her tonight, you know.
Right.
And okay, fine, that's your business if you want to do that, you know, as consensual adults. However, if it's somebody who you think you have a future, if you want to call it that, or, you know, something past next week at least, you want to, you know, you want to cultivate, like you said, cultivate it. You want to work the magic, as it were, and get to know them, and don't jump in too quickly, because then there's nothing, like you said, there's nothing to shoot for. There's no goal. There's no relationship.
I agree 100%.
You've
got women today that it's strange. You got people, I talk to so many people that are opting for the no relationship thing. Like, because every, you know, a relationship, and this is the truth because I'm in one, relationship takes work.
Oh yeah.
It does. I mean, you got to make sure that, you know, that person is the person that you want to commit to, as far as you're going to be hurt. You're going to feel like you got kicked in the gut. You're going to have to, you know, sacrifice in areas. You're going to have to bend your understanding like a twister puzzle to the point of where you didn't think that you could possibly bend. And you've got to, for unconditional love and truly understanding a person. I mean, these things take work. Nobody wants to do that anymore today. So you've got so many people that want to just hook up. That's all they want to do. They don't want to be in a relationship. And I don't know if you've ever seen the show The League. Have you ever watched that?
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
It's hysterical. But there was one thing on there that I thought was so apropos. It's like the guy was giving the analogy of, you know, when you're in a committed relationship with someone, it's like you have one channel to watch one football game on. You can only watch one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you decide to be casual, you have the red zone.
Yeah.
You know, where you can watch six
football.
At one time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if that's the kind of it all boils down to, in my humble opinion, which is probably absolutely wrong, but for me, how I live my life, it all boils down to what kind of person do you want to be?
What
do you
want to
take the easy way out all the time?
Yeah. Well, it's what kind of person do you want to be, and what kind of person do you want to be with?
Yeah, but you got to know what kind of person you want to be first before you can even know what kind of person you want to be with. If you're the type of person that is okay with just sliding by and you got six different people going at one time and none of them know about each other, or, you know, you sit there and you've become the Mac Daddy of, you know, I know guys that honestly, they don't even have any type anymore. There's no type. There's no boundaries. Every female falls into the category of a person to
doable.
Go after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Breathing
I'm talking about. Yeah, exactly. Breathing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get to that point, what kind of person do you want to be? That's the choice that it comes down to. And today, where everything is so available, it's not going to be someone else who chooses this for you. You and I have to choose and have discipline and stick by what it is that we choose, whatever that is. But I just read an interesting article, which I was going to send to you, but I didn't get a chance to, about in Japan. I reread this article today. 46% of females between the age of 18 and 34 are not only disgusted by sex, they just don't want to have anything to do with a sexual relationship, period.
Wow.
And
third
of the men... 46.
Wow. I think I'm meeting every one of them, too.
They're actually calling it the celibacy syndrome. They have named it celibacy syndrome. And it's been in 2011, I think, was the lowest year for births in Japan in all recorded history.
Wow.
So it's like this movement is sweeping across. And when they've interviewed people and asked them, you know, basically it comes down to them talking about how or that younger generation, or, you know, like between 18 and the 30s, where they're just talking about it's just too much work. There's just too much drama involved in it. I'd rather be single than be a wife. I'd rather be single than be a husband. I don't miss it. I don't need it. And so it's not like people are going around having casual sex and not having relationships. They're just not having sex.
Wow. That's an amazing statistic, and it's kind of scary when you think about it, and we hope that's not imported over to this country. Because, you know, I don't know. It's very odd listening to statistics like that, and, you know, living statistics like that to some extent. And that kind of brings me to another point that you know, I wanted to talk about is, you know, I live in Nashville. I live in the South. I live in the Bible Belt. You know, the women down here, granted, are for the most part transplanted from other parts of the country or the world, but they seem to embark on the same ethics.
Bible Belt paths?
Bible Belt morals and that kind of thing. Once they're
here,
they're
wearing the same belt.
They're wearing the chastity belt for sure, right? But you know, the same morals and ethics, and there's nothing wrong with that, because you know they want to live their life toward, you know, as the Bible states and that kind of thing, and I have no problem with that. But I'm also curious, you know, you've lived here, you've lived in L.A., you've lived in Oregon, you know, I'm from the East Coast. In comparing different parts of the country and even the world to where we are now, you know, fascinates me, because I know for a fact it's not like that in L.A. It's not like that in New York. It's not like that in D.C. It's not like that in Boston or Miami or any other really big city. I think it's a little bit more – it's more of a loose – you know, like you said, it's more casual. It's more loosey-goosey than just saying no, as it is here in the South. Do you have some response to that?
I think that – in the South, it's not necessarily that people are saying no. I think it's that people are doing what they want. There were two different crowds that I saw in Nashville. You got the music crowd, which pretty much everybody seemed to be just fine with their sexuality as far as having no moral convictions about it.
Right, or they were just hanging out with their guitars, one or the other, you know?
No, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, people were stuffy or sustaining or anything. Then you have the ones that are deeply rooted in religion and, you know, are not where sex is such a big part of the relationship as far as not having it. And these people end up getting married because they want to have it so much. Like, I've seen that right. A million times with my friends. You know, they're young. They want to have sex with each other. They go to church every Sunday. They feel that they can't, and so they get married, and then, you know, 4 years later, they're divorced. It would have been a lot cheaper if they would have just
had sex and checked it out.
It all depends on, you know, your belief in why you're doing it. You know, that's the number one thing of the sheeple mentality to me, is really deep down inside, what is your conviction of why you're doing it? You can have sex, and you can have, and I'm going to go as far as to say you can have casual sex with consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you have casual sex, that's a person that you feel, you know, a connection with, your heart is open, you're acknowledging them as a human being, there's a soul connection, you're grateful, and you take it to a little deeper experience. It's not just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, or hey, you're hot, I think you're hot, let's get it on. It's a, you can have a deeper connection if you're choosing to have casual sex, but I do believe that people that are on that level of taking it to a connection aren't going around sleeping with everything that walks either.
No.
But
I
mean, in Oregon, you've got strip clubs on every corner here. You've got bikini coffee girls. Oh yeah, girls that wear bikinis. So when you go through their little coffee line, you know, it's sexuality is out the roof here, and you've got, you know, men that are very imbalanced because of that.
Yeah.
And that's, I see it all around me, men that are just and women, too. I mean, it's kind of – I've seen my southern roots come out here for sure. Of, you know, my boyfriend owns a store, and I'll watch as married women come in and basically throw themselves, and you're like, okay, you're in a convenience store, and you're married, and why are you even going there? I mean, it's just
– Yeah, right.
It floors me to the point of seeing just – I don't know. To me, it's very easy to differentiate between a person who is truly sexual and a person who is sexual because they're insecure.
Right. And it's hard. Sometimes you have to figure out the difference. Yeah, you have to figure that out if you're a guy. You know, I mean, you find, like you said, you have women in there that are throwing themselves at whoever because they're married, they're not happy, and they're, you know, their self-esteem is shot, whatever reason it is. And then they're just trying to find some, I mean, they probably, my guess is, Amy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that if, you know, if somebody they threw themselves at actually said yes, they would back down and change their mind. They just want a little. They want a little ego boost that they're still hot enough to attract somebody else. No.
That could be. I don't know. I'm sure it goes probably half and half.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to, find out with yours or anything like that. But,
no. my point with that is, I think that what I'm saying is, I come from, and I am Southern, so I come from a more traditional background as far as, my boyfriend is not a jealous type at all.
Right.
If I talk to an ex-boyfriend, he would not get upset. If I, he trusts me and he knows because I've showed him on an everyday basis that I have respect for him. I don't sit there ogle and make eyes with dudes while away from him or while he's with me. I mean, he's been with me every day for almost 2 years now and sees how I behave. And he wouldn't care if I messaged an ex-boyfriend. He wouldn't care if I flirted, probably. I mean, it just, he is not that type of person. But when I'm saying that to say I come from a Southern background, which is,
right.
You show respect in that area.
Right. Your parents are like that, so yeah. You learned well.
Yeah. I mean, you show respect in that area. I would never, it would bother me greatly if I found one of his friends extremely attractive and I'm feeling attracted to him. And, Rudd walks away to go tie his shoe and I'm making eyes at the guy. That would bother me.
Well, it would probably bother him too.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is I see it all around me.
Right.
Here, especially, it's just like it's a free-for-all, whatever I can do to make myself feel good in the moment.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a lot different than Southern raising, because in Southern raising, I mean, whether it's you're keeping face, I don't know really what the origins of it, but we're taught manners and how to treat someone kindly and with respect. And that's not so much across the country, I don't think.
Well, I mean, I think some places that rule is bent a little. Treating people kindly and with respect is great as long as when you don't do it, you don't get caught. I mean, unfortunately, that's just kind of the way it is. So the example I would use in that situation is if somebody, like, let's use you as an example, because we're talking about it, is if he turned his back and you did make eyes at somebody, you didn't get caught. So, people will do that all the time, and that crushes the trust factor that people have, because you know what? I'm going to turn around probably at a very inopportune time and see you doing that. And I'm going to call you out on it. And that is going to crush the trust that I have, that we have built over the years.
Yeah,
and
you're
going to
start
been.
Thinking, if you could do that with me standing 5 feet away from you, what do you do when I'm not with you?
Exactly. And there's
And that just comes down to maturity. And again, what I was saying earlier about why relationships are hard, you've got to man up and woman up.
Thank you.
In a relationship. And treat someone the way you would want to be treated. It comes down to the golden rule. It really does. And
it does. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say it even does with sex.
It does, yeah. It do unto them as you would want to be done unto you, as it were. But it also has to do with I totally lost my thought. You want the golden rule. The golden rule is there. The golden rule is a golden rule for a reason. But it is a matter. I'm trying to catch it back, but I'm not having trouble getting it. The golden rule is there, but you want. It's hard to do that. It is a lot of work, and you have to do the work, and you have to want to put in the work. And a lot of people nowadays, especially, those people who are younger than you and I are, don't know how to do that. They've never been taught. They've never been taught because they were born in the era of the internet. They were born without, they've never experienced not having something, instantaneously, so they don't know how.
If I was going to say anything to those people, as far as to try to get them to understand, and it's probably if I ever had children, it would be what I would teach my children, honestly.
Which is what?
If when you when you are having sex from an unconscious state, meaning that you're not fully responsible, you're not willing to take responsibility, you're not fully truthful, and you're coming from a place of what I always call the intimacy junkie,
mm-hmm.
which is most of your associations sexually or even flirtatiously are for a fix.
Yeah.
The next hit that's going to give you that feeling of being intimate with a person, but you're not really being intimate. You know, it's a faux intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would teach or even try to say to people that don't have the upbringing to understand is that, you know, nobody in this life is going to do anything for you. You are the person who has to choose your stream of consciousness and your path in life. And if you've got an ocean and you've got a dam that's holding back that ocean, and let's say that sexuality is the ocean.
Yeah.
And you have a dam. You have a dam that is holding it back, and you get to choose how far open you open that dam and how much comes flowing forth. The thing that I would teach is understanding that you are allowed to choose whatever you want to in life. You're allowed to experience whatever pleasure you want to in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's free will. That's what each and every one of us has been given.
Right.
And it's not a matter of morality, of right and wrong. What it comes down to is realizing, taking full responsibility and realizing that once you open that gate a little more and a little more, you are the person who is going to have to deal with the rush that comes forth.
Yeah.
That could flood out your whole entire being. It could flood out where you live. It could take you over and drown you. It could do all kinds of things. You're the person who's choosing how much you're letting in. And always, always know that when you do choose that, you're also the person that suffers the consequences because of that.
Right.
So when you start living from that consciousness, you start thinking, you know, is it really worth it for me to go get a prostitute and have a fetish of this and that? Am I going to really go there even though I've fantasized about it all this time? Should I open that door and go there? Because once you open that door and go there, all that energy is flooding forth, and you're the person who's going to have to try to close the door back, if you want to, against all that force that you've let in.
Yeah, and the doors don't always close. Sometimes they're swinging doors,
no.
And that can be really bad.
The whole point.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, from a guy's point of view, it's, you know, I understand what you're saying, but from you know, the man's point of view, it's we don't care. We don't seem to care.
I know.
You know, we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that because we're not emotional people for the most part. You know, if we are, we internalize it for the most part. And most men, not all men certainly, but I'll speak mainly for myself and the people that I know. But it is really difficult to, you know, to open ourselves up and then close that door again once we do. It turns into a saloon door is what it amounts to. So, you know, we open the door and then it comes back and smacks us in the face, you know, if we don't move out of the way in time. But, you know, we want to be able to do that to, you know, a woman or women because, you know, everybody wants to feel needed. Everybody wants to feel loved, blah, blah, blah. You know, the whole thing. We're all on an ego trip, no matter how much you deny it.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter. Yeah, and it's a matter of, you know, okay, if it's a swinging door, is it going to come back and hit you in the face by self-propulsion, or is somebody going to throw it back in your face? We ultimately want to walk through it with somebody. I think I speak for everybody. We don't want it to – nobody wants to die alone. You know, nobody wants to grow old alone. So it's just it ultimately will come back, and you and I talk about this all the time, to timing.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about where you are in your lives. You know, when I was younger, yeah, you know, we'd go out and we'd party, we'd meet women, we'd go, you know, we'd hook up, we'd do whatever. I mean, a lot of younger people do that. At this point in my life, I'm too old for that kind of crap. You know, I can't keep up. So, you know, it's easier to say, yeah, I want a steady, you know, a steady relationship but then, you know, do I or don't I? And it's still a matter of, like you said, deciding for yourself what you want. So it's interesting, though, because, again, you go into different parts of the country and, you know, different men and women both think differently about that. And, you know, we'd be interested to hear about how that works out in other parts of the country. I think we're going to get that bus tour together this year and head around
well,
the country.
Well, I think it's interesting to think about, you know, the psychological repercussions, I guess, of, like, people that are not hung up and have none of these, you know, I'm just going to say hang-ups when it comes to sex, that just allow themselves to do what they want to do. I mean, it's interesting to see how their psychological health is. And because they do allow that, are they more active or less active because they're not, you know, coming from a place of need or even repression? Repression does so much to people. I mean, it magnifies and screws up, you know, part of what I think this country's problem is the repression that we have sexually. It's just kind of at a pressure cooker point where, you know, now people are doing everything, you know, kind of in a double life scenario. It's like they put one face forward and say, this is who I am, and in the closet they're doing something completely different.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
So, I mean, that's what repression, I think those are that's the outcome of when we repress ourselves and we try to make something so taboo and so wrong and can't be talked about and can't be looked into and can't be explored. I mean, when you do that, you multiply that energy, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It would be interesting to see, like, places like Amsterdam and places where, you know, things are more lax and more legal and more open. Is it that people, once that opportunity is given to people, is it like we are as children, that once we can do it, we really don't want to do it? But because
good
we're being
question,
told we
yeah.
can't do it, you know what I mean?
Right. We're rebels, all of us, right?
No, that's human nature,
probably,
I think, of just,
yeah.
you know, whatever is being held over your head that you can't, it makes, I guess,
yeah.
Makes it all the more attractive.
Yeah. There is I want to kind of switch gears for a little bit, for a couple minutes anyway. You wrote in the chapter, Amy B. joins us, the author of the book Woo Dat, W-O-D-A-T. Chapter 5, we were talking about counting coup. You talked about just a one sentence, and I'm going to read the sentence. I'm going to tell you my quick story about it. The terms sexy and hot have replaced beautiful and captivating. The funny thing that happened, and as I read that, it reminded me of the story. I was talking to a woman that I was, I don't know, you can say I was flirting with her, sure. And we, you know, been flirting for, you know, a couple of days via phone calls, text messages, whatever. And I called her beautiful, and I called her attractive, and I called her all those names. And then I threw in the word sexy, and she got mad. So how come you didn't call me beautiful? I'm like, really? Because, like, sexy was almost an insult. And I'm thinking to myself, this girl is old-fashioned. See,
uh-huh.
guys, that's how you're going to know old-fashioned from new-fashioned is, you know, mm-hmm. if you call them beautiful and you call them attractive and you call them, good, nice things like that. But once you get into sexy and hot, and, you know, you're thinking about sex, they start getting a little bit defensive. And, you know, the old-fashioned ones will certainly do that. And that really opened my eyes to something that, okay, you got to watch what you say, even though I used it as a compliment because she was wearing something that looked, you know, a sexy outfit, you know, just out and about. She looked really sexy. Sorry. I mean,
well,
that's a compliment to me.
I thank my guy friends for and you are one included. You know, I love, you know, I have a lot of guy friends that I enjoy talking to men sometimes more than most of the time more than I enjoy talking to women. I just get men more, and I enjoy being around men more, and that's not to knock women at all. It's just I do and always
well,
have.
Well, and to that point, I'm the same way in reverse. Got plenty of guy friends, but I'd much rather talk to a woman.
Okay, there you go. Well,
we learn more, don't we? We learn more by talking to the opposite sex.
I remember I was interested in a guy, and I have one guy friend in particular that, I mean, he has made me cry before with how straight he tells me things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has literally, I remember one time he told me, and this is, I'm going to clean this up, which, I mean, it totally made me realize I was just Miss Pollyanna, naive, you know, thought that men, once they find the woman that they love, you know, that's blah, blah, blah. And so he told me this phrase, which wasn't his, obviously, because it's a very well-known phrase. And he said, Amy, I'm about to tell you something that you've probably never heard before, but I want you to remember this always. I mean, it is your Bible from this point forward. And I was like, okay. And he said, show me the most beautiful woman in the world, and I will show you the man who's tired of sleeping with her. And
tonight,
I remember,
man,
I was like,
right?
I mean, I was like, what? But then I start looking around, I start talking to men, I start researching for my books, I start doing this, and I realize, like, the nature of man is, and we could say this is just men being selfish, or we could say that this is the actual make of a man, you know, genetically.
Right.
Because of the need to spread seed and create and procreate. I mean, the nature of a man is to want variety. It is, period.
Sure.
But for a Pollyanna girl that's just like, oh, I'm going to fall in love and he's going to fall in love with me and I'm going to be all he needs and wants, I mean, it shatters you completely. Now, I think in the day and age we live in, most people have that, you know, bubble burst before the age of, I mean, it's obvious these days. But, I mean, in the days that I grew up, it wasn't taught to me that way. So I didn't understand that. I did not understand it. But why am I saying that? I said that to say, oh, he is the guy who told me I was really interested in a guy and felt a really strong connection with him. And we were, you know, just getting along so great. And so my friend asked me, well, what has he told you about the way you look? What is it, you know, that he says? And I said, well, well, the other day when we were talking, you know, he was like, you're so sexy. And he's like, oh, he just wants to sleep with you.
Yep.
And I was like, what? He's like, oh,
yep.
Yeah. He's just only in it to sleep with you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, you don't understand. We are getting along so great. I mean, we are connecting. So, nope. He just wants to sleep with you.
Oh, Amy, what color is the sky in the world you were living in back then, huh? Yeah. He only wanted to sleep with you.
So there we go.
No brainer, but well.
No, but I'm saying as a girl, I never would have thought those ways unless I had guy friends that were strong enough and willing enough to tell it to me straight, so that I could understand Minglish,
right,
and truly understand what was being presented to me instead of putting on the glasses of oh he's acting interested and we have this great connection. It must be a true connection.
Yeah. No. But you gotta, yeah, and ladies, you have to be able to not have on the rose-colored glasses and be able to tell the difference between who's bullshitting you and who's not. Because you
and
know what?
And if you decide to go there at the end of the day, you can't cry to mama when he treats you like you went into it, you know?
Exactly. There's no crying in relationships, there's no crying in baseball. So
right.
We need to, you know, yeah. Have your radar, for lack of a better term, a little bit more in tune. And you know what? Go get a really good guy friend, even though men and women can be friends. We'll go there. Go get a guy friend like Amy has or like, you know, I am to several people or whatever, and who's going to shoot straight with you. And you know what?
Yep.
You know, kind of make sure they're straight because they kind of understand a little better from the guy's point of view. But, you know, find somebody who's going to shoot straight with you. Give them the situation and let them tell you.
And likewise, guys need it with girls.
Yeah.
Guys need it with girls. I know so many guys that sit there and the girl is like letting, you know, him pay for dinners and they go out on quote-unquote dates, but they still haven't kissed. They still haven't done anything. He pays for her this. He pays for a cocktail. And I can tell from a mile away. I can tell from a mile away when the girl is interested in him or if she's just getting a free ride for however long he'll stick around waiting for her to go to the next level.
And I'll use this from experience that if you use the word in describing the guy that you're dating, if you use the word generous, you're being bought, guarantee you. So, all right, I want to close out and wrap up tonight with one of the ending paragraphs in the Counting Coup chapter of Woo Dat. And I'm going to end it on the highlighted area I have here because that is my favorite line of the whole – one of the my favorite lines of the whole book. It goes like this, quote, change the habit of giving in and build up some resistance muscle. There are so many people who feel a relationship just isn't desirable anymore. It takes too much work. It's too challenging. That's why hooking up has become the way of getting that need met, just in a less meaningful way. But do you think the greats of past times looked at something like going into battle and said, nah, that takes too much work? No, they didn't. Backbone and balls. That's what's missing in today's society. So get some backbone and balls. If you want to go out and bang everything you can bang, go for it. But if you want something meaningful, you might want to wait a couple, three, four, six dates before you do that. And it'll be worth that much more. Agree, Miss Amy?
I agree with you 100%.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, dear, for joining us again.
Thank you. That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, we always like talking about sex. And you guys all thought we were going to be talking about, like, intimate details of sex. No, we weren't going to do that. But the state of sex.
We could do that on another show.
We'll do that on another show, yeah, when we change it to an X-rated show. then we got some real good stuff for you, don't we, girl, right?
Woo-hoo!
But I know, woohoo. But anyway, Amy V, author of Woo Dat, go out on Amazon. Go to the website, itsnotmeradio.com. Make sure you check her out under the reading page, Good Reading. It's a good short book, paperback for $8.99 on Amazon. I highly recommend going to show you and teach you how to woo again, and that's the important thing. Couple of things. Thanks again to our sponsor, Regime Entertainment, who just launched a new website tonight. So go check out regimeentertainment.com, and you'll see what they do. So thank you for your continued sponsorship and support. We will be back. I have some really, really awesome shows coming up the remainder of February. Next week, my friend Miss Olivia is going to be joining us. She is a woman in her 40s, a model and actress, very beautiful woman. And we're going to talk about the troubles that a woman like that has in dating. And then the following week is the day before Valentine's. We're going to have a very, very special Valentine's episode with one of my favorite couples in the entire world that will be joining us to talk about how to have a happy relationship. And then the next week on the 20th, we are going to have two women that I know that are serial online daters. And we're going to talk about their confessions of a serial online dater. So we've got a great month of shows. So I hope you'll join us Thursday night at 6:30 Central Time. And we are going to leave you tonight as we started. And that is with the South African band Lone Hill Estates and the song Sugar Honey Smacks. Y'all have a great weekend. We will see you next week, and peace out.
My feet feel the beat since you taught them how to walk. My hips do this since you taught them how to talk. My lips are twisted in a grin, thinking dirty thoughts about you. I can't understand why I'm shaking like this. I can't hear the fan because I'm reading your lips. I let my friends slip cause they know that I'm whipped around you. All I want are the coolies from your soul and three little words I know. All I want is sugar on a snack day and night is sugar on a snack day. Under your skin.